Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. What is before us is the gospel reading from Matthew 22. It is a parable where Jesus describes the kingdom of God as a wedding feast. Wedding feasts figure prominently into Jesus' parables. Even beginning his great signs in the Gospel of John, it seems as though he spent a lot of time thinking about these things, going to feasts, being excluded from feasts, being invited to feasts, being shut out of feasts, awaiting them, like awaiting the bridegroom and waiting for Christ's return. All these things are wrapped up in the promises of Jesus to come back and to inaugurate finally in the resurrection the full kingdom of God. What will we be seeing this coming Sunday with regard to those very promises? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the 3-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Kencher will be our guest here in the first hour of the program. Then Pastor Hans Feeney joins us to talk about two issues: Mark Driscoll's false comfort for guilty moms and his thoughts on the new Star Wars trailer. Pastor Peter Burfein joins us after that to talk about ways to show appreciation to your pastor. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Feel free to join us over the next 2 hours. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc, and our Issues Etc. comment line for our beloved on-demand listeners, 618-223-8382. Joining us to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Kencher, professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Kencher, welcome back.
Great to be on, Todd. Thank you.
Our propers this week, again and again, picture this wedding feast, this great banquet. And that's an image that we find all over Scripture, but especially in the life and the parables of Jesus. Why do you suppose that God uses that description so often in his word?
Well, I think for several reasons. First of all, because I really do think there's something quite literal in what we picture for the eternal kingdom. After the resurrection, when we're body and soul together in heaven and the eternal kingdom, I think it's going to be very much the way a wedding feast is for us now. I think there will be something of a table and dining, and we recognize that in the resurrection, things are not going to be so incredibly different from what we have come to know. God created Adam and Eve, body and soul, to live on earth, a real place, a perfect place, and when we are raised again, our bodies and souls reunited, where we will live will be something that is not totally foreign to what we have come to know here. We'll be very comfortable in that resurrection, and certainly a big part of what we do here is to eat, and in the best case scenario, the eating is quite a delightful thing. I think a second reason is because the wedding feast in particular, of all the banqueting kind of imagery, the wedding feast pictures that wonderful relationship that God has had with us through Christ. Christ and his bride, the church, from all eternity. I just had the delight of preaching at a wedding. In fact, Todd, it was my daughter's wedding this past Saturday. And when you have the joy as a pastor of presiding or preaching at a wedding, you're reminded again and again how beautifully this does picture the relationship of Christ and his church. So a wedding banquet in particular is an image that really reminds us of how fully and completely Christ is dedicated to us, to give up his life even for us, his bride. And human marriage was designed by God to picture that. And then I think that just a third reason that the wedding feast imagery or banqueting imagery in general is so common in Scripture is because God knows this has real appeal to us, not just that we go through daily life eating frequently, but as we said, when things are at the very, very best, those gatherings around a meal can be really some of the most delightful times of all. And, you know, for example, this past Saturday, the wedding service, of course, was the high point of the day with the Word of God read, hymns sung magnificently with a great organ, and the Word of God preached in the vow of a man and a woman for lifelong service to each other. But then afterwards, what followed, the reception, that was no small thing either. We gathered around food and enjoyed being together with refreshments and food before us, and that very much is a part of the delight that God gives us in life, of all the things that God gives us to do, which are great blessings just in day-to-day activity, one of the best is eating, and eating together with loved ones and dear friends. So this imagery of the wedding feast, or a banquet in general, but especially the wedding feast, really is very deep-seated in even God's relationship to us from all eternity, and in what we know and enjoy so much now, and what we look forward to in the resurrection. So it's not a surprise that in this week's Propers, we see those images of the wedding banquet come up again and again. The interesting question to raise is how anyone could not want such a thing as this. But we'll see that happening in our Propers as well.
You wanted to take the first three elements that we often find in the Propers of the service, the intro, the collect, and the verse together as one to begin our conversation. What are they?
Yeah, I think I'd like to do that because they begin to give us this picture that we're going to see throughout. But already after these three elements, it will raise the question that we'll seek to answer in the rest of the proper. So let me just read all three of those consecutively. Then I'll pull out some elements from the three, and then we'll go on from there. First of all, the intro, it is from primarily Isaiah 61 with the antiphon from Psalm 146. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. There's our intro for this coming Sunday. The verse is from Revelation 22. Alleluia! The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let the one who hears say, Come. Let the one who is thirsty, Come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Alleluia! And then finally, the collect for this coming Sunday. Almighty God, you invite us to trust in you for our salvation. Deal with us not in the severity of your judgment, but by the greatness of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now, as we read through those straight through, we heard some of the elements, Todd, that you and I were already talking about when we talk about a banquet or a wedding feast. We heard, for example, the reference in the introit Isaiah chapter 61, where the prophet says, "He has clothed me with garments of salvation, covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." So we have the picture of the wedding itself taking place there. That's an interesting prophecy in Isaiah chapter 61. It actually occurs a couple of times in our lectionary in itself as an Old Testament reading during Advent and Epiphany season. It'll be interesting to listen for when those come up, because the wedding imagery is very prominent at those times too. For example, it's the Old Testament lesson that goes with the wedding of Cana. So we've got the wedding imagery there, and likewise in the verse from Revelation chapter 22, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and so on. So we first of all got the wedding imagery there. We certainly also have the invitation kind of idea. Come to this wedding. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. And in our collect, Almighty God, you invite us to trust in you for our salvation. So we have the picture of people being invited to this grand wedding event, this banquet that is being set before us. And then we also have language which shows just how magnificent this thing is, how opulent, how rich it really is. "He has clothed me with garments of salvation, covered me with a robe of righteousness." The picture is of things that we are given to put on to wear, which are just so ornate, so beautiful, as the bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress. Interestingly, of course, that's a man. That's the bridegroom, not the bride, who, of course, also is beautifully adorned. She adorns herself with her jewels. Both of them are just decked out in the most beautiful kind of way. The garments that we put on are just magnificent. And what we are invited to come and receive, "Let the one who is thirsty come, the one who desires take the water of life without price." Water of life, water flowing for those who are thirsty. The picture then is that what we have here is an event which is very elegant, which is very opulent. The clothing, the things that are set before us, and those things are even free when we talk about the invitation to come. And then we're reminded that the one who desires takes the water of life without price. And we're reminded that God has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So we've got this grand event, this beautiful wedding event. It is beautiful. It is opulent. It's absolutely free. And we are invited to participate. You're saying, "My goodness, what could be better? Shouldn't the whole story stop right now? I mean, what more could there be to say than bring it on, let's do it, and let's do it for all eternity?" But the collect does have that other reminder. Almighty God, you invite us, there's that invitation, to trust in you for our salvation. And then it says this: "Deal with us not in the severity of your judgment, but by the greatness of your mercy." That kind of drops us there. It kind of brings us to a halt when we've been seeing such beautiful things, so readily available, absolutely free, magnificent for all eternity. But suddenly we're asking God not to deal with us in the severity of judgment. What's to judge? Where could judgment come in? And that reminds us that even as we ask that question, why wouldn't everybody want to be there? Somehow or other, it must be that somebody is declining this invitation, that someone, for some reason, doesn't want to be a part of all these rich, opulent things, this beautiful setting, the wedding event that is absolutely free and to which every one of us is invited. That does throw us for a loop. That gives us cause to stop and ponder. And so, Todd, as we go through all of our propers today, I'd like to examine that really in the form of a question. This will be my theme, and we'll work on answering throughout the propers. My theme is this: why wouldn't everyone want to come to the Lord's wedding feast? And I punctuate that at the end with an exclamation point, then a question mark, and then another exclamation point. As in, why wouldn't everyone want to come to the Lord's wedding feast? Of course everyone does. Okay? That's a rhetorical, an exclamation point. But then we'll also deal with a question mark. Somehow or other, why wouldn't everyone want to come to the Lord's wedding feast. And our propers will actually raise real objections that other people will raise to coming to the Lord's wedding feast. As incredible as that seems, there really will be those who don't wish to come, and we'll ask ourselves, why in the world? But then finally, we'll come back with that third marking, the second exclamation point that says, yeah, when all is said and done, what could be more magnificent than this? Surely, surely we'd all want to be at the Lord's wedding feast. So that's the way we'll look at our propers, Todd, beginning with our theme now, and then going through the rest of the readings, the Old Testament lesson, the psalm, the epistle, and the gospel, and seeing how they address that question.
We will take up that Old Testament reading, Isaiah 25, where on this mountain, a feast of rich things, and God will swallow up death forever. Sounds an awful lot like that which Dr. McCantra has described for us, promised in the resurrection. And we'll do Psalm 23 and the epistle reading from Philippians 4, moving toward that wedding feast parable in Matthew 22.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship. issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
¿Qué dicen y qué significan las 99 tesis de Martín Lutero? ¿Cuál es la historia del famoso himno Castillo Fuerte? ¿Cómo y por qué están celebrando los luteranos el 50º aniversario de la Reforma este mes? Aprende más en la edición de octubre de The Lutheran Witness. Visite acph.org/trylutheranwitness para recibir 6 ediciones para $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpretando a un mundo contemporáneo desde una perspectiva cristiana.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fikancher, according to the 3-year lectionary. Dr. Fikancher, take us into the Old Testament reading, Isaiah 25. This is another really striking picture of what we're seeing all through our propers as we look forward to Sunday morning.
Striking. It is that. This is a definite favorite of mine among the various Old Testament lessons throughout the lectionary. It does also come up from time to time in other uses in the propers. It's such a great piece that it deserves mention again and again. Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9, just picked out there with very good reason, as is obvious when we hear it. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Well, again, we've got the picture of the lavish banquet, and very likely also a wedding banquet, although it's not explicit here in the Old Testament lesson. And here, the imagery to me is especially delectable. I'm a guy who likes to eat, and I like food that is carefully chosen and prepared. And that's exactly what Isaiah is prophesying here. On this mountain, this is speaking of the Mount Zion. And of course, it's not literally talking about that particular place on which the temple was built in Jerusalem, but it certainly is using the temple in Jerusalem and Jerusalem, the holy city, as a picture of the place where God gathers his people. Where God gathers his people, and that place, Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, the one who rules all things, will make for all peoples. Remember what we heard already in our intro, at our collect, and also in our verse, that this is an invitation event to which we are all invited. Everyone is invited. Will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food, full of marrow, of aged wine, well refined. I just like to say those words, because even as I say those words again and again, it seems that we can savor what's behind them. Rich food. The word or the phrase, it's very rich when we talk about food, probably means that we come out of it feeling a little too full. But in a perfect world, in the Garden of Eden or in eternity, where digestion or however God makes it operate is perfect and metabolism is 100% efficiency, that won't be a problem. Then the things that we refer to as making it rich will only be pluses. They will only be talking about the sauces being particularly savory. The caloric count in our day, probably pretty high. Yep, that's probably the case. Of rich food full of marrow, this is the very, very best meats, the best cuts. This is the filet mignon, which I never get because it's just too expensive per ounce, you know? This is the stuff where it's no cost being saved, nothing too expensive, all the best is completely available to us, again, absolutely free. If it's beef you like, then it's the best cut of beef. And whatever other fatted calf or oxen is what you prefer, this is exactly what it is. A feast of well-aged wine. This is not the stuff this is not the gallo that just rolled off the vine and off the truck in bulk. This is the stuff that has to be bottled with special care and laid down until it's just right. The very, very best of wines. And of course, people have different preferences as to what they enjoy as a festive beverage. But historically, this has always been top drawer. This has always been the classy stuff. Somebody likes a beer when he sits back to enjoy a party, fine. But we've always sort of said that the winemakers, the vintner's skill and art is something just a little cut above. And really, that's what Isaiah is describing here. Everything is a cut above. Everything is just the very, very best. When we picture food that good, we don't just picture just getting the nourishment, and we also don't really even picture just getting down and chowing down. Here, we really picture ourselves sitting around a banquet table with this elegant food, the best wine being served to us, probably on beautiful china, probably with elegant glassware, the finest crystal, served with style and grace and elegance, and undoubtedly shared with those that are closest to us. Because, of course, the human interaction that goes with a great meal is really the most important thing of all. The conversation that goes on while we're dining, the sharing of fellowship, the sharing of love for one another, being with those people that are most delightful in our relationships, all of that is being pictured in these words. where Isaiah says, no cost is spared. Everything is given just in the very, very best way. And of course, it's always true that even the most festive banquet that we experience in this life, we know always has its limits. If nothing else, if it's not just a matter of having to go home after a grand meal and then go to work the next day, what really is always the capper is that our best and most joyous festivities here are always in the shadow of impending death. Ever since sin came into the world, that's always been a cloud that's been over us, described in verse 7 as a veil that is spread over the nation, a covering that is cast over all peoples. It's the big Debbie Downer that poops every party, but no longer, because he will swallow up death on this mountain. He will swallow up death forever, so that the joy of that feasting, the best of those festivities, will never be dampened by knowing that it must end and it must give way to death. He will swallow up death forever. The picture here is also a beautiful picture. Yesterday, I also happened to attend a funeral of a dear member of our congregation, St. Paul's in Fort Wayne, a relatively young man, just in his 50s, a talented man, a faithful man, certainly a man who expressed his faith in Christ Jesus again and again. And as we come into the sanctuary and see that veil, that pall, we sense the sadness that is always inevitable as long as sin remains. But when that veil of death, that covering, that pall that is cast over the peoples is removed, then not only Mark, whose resurrection victory we celebrated yesterday, but also all of us, as we rise again to live forever, will experience the perfect joy with that banquet then never ending. The Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. The reproach of his people will be taken away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Because he, by sending Jesus Christ into the world to die, to take our death upon himself, has removed death, has lifted that pall, so that now the festivities go on forever. The picture is so vivid, so beautiful, we just got to ask ourselves, why wouldn't everyone want to be a part of this? Why wouldn't everyone want to come to the Lord's wedding feast? It's a rhetorical question, we think, because surely everyone wants to come.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary. He is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikencher's colleague there at Concordia Theological Seminary, Dr. Cameron McKenzie, is the author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for October, The Reformation. This is a coffee table book that in picture and in word tells the story of the Reformation. It tells it accurately. It's not a comic book version of these things. It's the real story told in the pages of this book, The Reformation. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for October, The Reformation, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we're going to turn to the psalm for today. It's a familiar one, Psalm 23. How does it fit into the theme that's already been established?
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, issues, etc., and you.
Because Christ-centered preaching matters. Because His Word does accomplish that which He purposes. Because hanging out with like-minded Lutherans is important. Hi, I'm Alicia Herman, member of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I invite you to Redeemer. I particularly appreciate Redeemer as a church where God's grace enables us to see that our justification depends not on our performance, but solely on Christ's performance. If you're looking for a Lutheran oasis, where in a changing culture, the message stays the same, visit us in Fort Wayne or at redeemer-fortwayne.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. Starting October 1st, this twofold mission becomes even more pronounced. During October, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, the Concordia Historical Institute. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking forward to Sunday morning on this Tuesday, October the 10th, with Dr. Carl Fakentra of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakentra, the next proper that we need to look at is going to sound very familiar to everyone who is in church on Sunday morning. It's Psalm 23. How does this psalm fit within the theme that's emerged here so far in the propers?
Well, of course, we think of Psalm 23 as the shepherd's psalm. It certainly is that. And so, of course, this will also show up during the fourth Sunday of Easter each year, along with Good Shepherd Sunday. That's very appropriate. But actually, the psalm has several different metaphors, and only the first one, the Good Shepherd, is the one that we tend to remember. I'll read through it quickly, but you'll hear when the element comes up that is specific to our text this week. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd is a magnificent metaphor. It's a beautiful picture of the Lord caring for us. But you know, what it's really getting at isn't just about sheep and shepherd. It really is about how we shall not want, about how the Lord provides for us in every way, everything we need, letting us lie down in green pastures, giving us the waters that we need. Well, if we are sheep, those are exactly the things we need. But we're not literally sheep, we're literally people, and the fact of the matter is, what God really provides for us now, and I believe also in eternity, in the resurrection, is really closer to this image that has been prominent throughout our propers this day, that is the table, the feasting, the eating. the Lord is going to provide that also for us. The psalmist says explicitly in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. There's that magnificent picture of the Lord providing for all of our wants in terms of food. And once again, the very best. Just as it's not just mediocre pasture, it's the greenest pasture. Just as it's not just water where we can barely catch a sip, no, it's the still waters. It's exactly what we need in every department. And here at the table, we would expect nothing less. It'll be those aged wines, the rich foods, the finest of meats that Isaiah chapter 25 described, the very same thing. And our cup overflows with it. See, there's no shortage. There's no limitation on the blessings because it is all free. The Lord is providing. He's giving us so that we do not want. Everything is provided by Him. And as we saw in Isaiah chapter 25, it never ends. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's no cap on this. There's no sad ending. There's no death to break up the party. It will continue forever. So the 23rd Psalm really fits beautifully because, again, it is God providing the things that we need in opulence, in perfection, absolutely freely. And once again, when we hear how beautiful that is, we got to say, well, why surely wouldn't everyone want to come to the Lord's wedding feast? Well, certainly everyone would, right?
What is the epistle reading for this coming Sunday?
Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 13, of course, continues our examination of the letter to the Philippians that is going through our epistle lesson at this time. And there is much more to be said about this epistle lesson than we'll do today. But again, we'll pick up just the elements that are particularly specific here. As I read through, and I'll do that quickly, consider once again how we hear God providing everything we need freely, richly, without limitation, and picture that that could even include the banquet. St. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Hear how Paul is also affirming that God provides for us so completely, so richly, so freely. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Paul writes this from prison, but he's still able to say, I'm able to rejoice. Let us all rejoice, because even as I am in prison, I know that God is providing for me. Do not be anxious about anything. I shall not want. All my wants are certainly being supplied, even when I'm here in prison, even when I can't see how God is caring for me. That peace of God that comes with being reconciled to God, being at peace with God by Jesus' death on the cross that takes away that separating sin, that assures us that God is really always providing for us in the very best way. And verse 8, Paul gives a wonderful picture of just how rich and beautiful things are when we are gathered around God's word and ultimately around His table. Whatever is true, things that are true, those are beautiful, those are magnificent. Whatever is honorable, honorable things are beautiful. It's wonderful to be in the presence of honorable things. Whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. When we gather around God's word, when we as God's people gather around Him, and ultimately when we are gathered at His feast, everything will be true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable. If there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, all the things that we see around us in the eternal banquet will be excellent, will be worthy of praise. praise. And the last part of the epistle lesson where Paul says, don't worry about me. I know you have wanted to care for me. You didn't have the opportunity. Now you have revived your opportunity, your concern for me to take care of my physical needs. It's okay. I've been fine because even as I've sometimes been in need, as I've sometimes been in hunger, I know the secret of living under even those circumstances. And what is that secret? He answers himself in verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In other words, in all of these things, it is the Lord providing. Everything that we need is provided absolutely free, as the invitation to the banquet is absolutely free, where we gather around those things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise. And as we heard from Isaiah, rich, well-aged, all the best. All of this, of course, really is St. Paul recognizing, even in an epistle lesson that goes a different direction, that God is providing for us in such magnificent ways that you just couldn't imagine anyone not wanting to be a part of this. And again, though, we ask that rhetorically because in our gospel lesson, we see that some people really don't.
If you would, read through the gospel lesson. It's a little lengthy there, and then we'll pause for break and come back to it and deal with it.
Super. We'll get it going here and listen for the amazing reasons that people offer for not wanting to come to this amazing wedding feast. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants saying, tell those who were invited, see, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Dr. Carl Kencher is our guest on this Tuesday, October the 10th. We are looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the 3-year lectionary, we heard the gospel read, and we'll get into the parable of the wedding feast with Dr. Kencher right after the break.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces, the LCMS ministry to the armed forces, lcms.org/armedforces. We're looking at the propers for this coming Sunday. Looking forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fikancher, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. On the topic of preaching, Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching through video modules with accompanying resources and by interacting with seminary professors like Dr. Carl Fikancher and fellow preachers. You can learn more at lcms.org/preachtheword. That's lcms.org/preachtheword. So the gospel reading you read before the break, this parable of the wedding feast, has rather dark ending. How would you take us into it?
Well, again, this is where we have the clearest indication of the wedding feast imagery among our propers this particular Sunday. And as you mentioned, Todd, when we began, this actually occurs many different places. But here we have a very specific parable by Jesus in which a king gives a wedding feast for his son. That's very explicit. The time of his son's marriage has come, and he has prepared the banquet that goes with that wedding event. Now, we've been seeing all the way through the propers how magnificent this thing is. We've asked rhetorically, you know, we've got that exclamation point. Why wouldn't everyone want to come to the Lord's wedding feast? That's exclamation point, but rhetorical. And here again, we see how rich the thing is. He says, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. These are animals that have been set aside to be slaughtered and prepared for just such an event. We're not just scrounging to find something to feed us this day. These are animals that have been set aside just for this very event, and everything is ready. It's the very, very best. But now we've got to ask that question for real. Why wouldn't everyone want to come to the Lord's wedding feast? And we get several answers. When the time comes, the king sends out his servants with the obvious invitation. Everything is grand. Everything is ready. Come on. You're invited. I'm putting it on. It's absolutely free to you. You got to spend nothing. Just be here and enjoy. But incredibly, they ignore it. They would not come. So he sends servants again. Well, come on, guys. Did you not get the message? What part of come enjoy my feast did you not understand? Come to the wedding feast. But verse 5 says, they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. This is the first kind of response to that question, that first tragic response to the question that is offered in our gospel reading. One to his farm, another to his business. These are the people who, tragically, amazingly, are just so preoccupied with things of this world that they miss the amazing invitation. Things that are in the eternal picture really so small can seem to each one of us to be so very big. Our farm, our business, that is our place of employment, the things that we do day to day, whether it's actually for pay or just the other routine activities that consume our time. We know how important it is to earn a living to support our families, and that means we've got to do the best we can at our jobs. If we are a stay-at-home mom, we've got to do the best things we can to care for our family, for the home, in raising our children, in providing nice things for the kids, for the husband. Those are all important things. Those are all real things. There's nothing wrong with tending to the farm or to the business. But somehow, from day to day to day, we can be so caught up in those things that the things of the kingdom, the things that last forever, get pushed to the side. And this, of course, can be also social things that become a big part of our routine. People talk about their social calendars nowadays being so crowded. It may not be going to the biggest banquet, but it's doing this thing, that thing, taking the kids to soccer, and so on. So somehow or other, we're just so busy with the little things that we would rather do those than come to the Lord's wedding feast. It's amazing. It's incredible. It makes no sense. But it is the way that we all live from time to time, and it is the way that much of the world is living all the time. And then it goes on, verse 6, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. Why wouldn't they want to come to the wedding feast? Well, apparently there are some who really take direct opposition, active opposition to the things of God's kingdom. They find the things of God's kingdom to be repugnant, to be really the opposite of what they truly, truly want. This, of course, has always been the case throughout the history of the world. Satan has always been opposed to God's kingdom, and he's found followers in every quarter, in every century, in every millennium. Sometimes it is the opposition of the pagan Roman Empire. It can be opposition to missionaries who've traveled the world in the centuries following. It certainly also seems to be in an increasing manner in our own country today, where there really is a rising, very intentional opposition to the church. I heard a dialogue recently which talked about how Christianity was being restricted, and the question was raised, well, are these same rules being applied to Muslims in terms of restricting their religious liberty? And the answer, well, not really so much at this time. Muslims in our country, not oppressed in the same way by some in our government as Christians. Hindus, Buddhists, that is to say, other religions of the world, are not necessarily receiving the same head-on opposition that Christianity is receiving, where it's very clear that people have a real agenda of direct opposition to Christ and his church. These are the ones who treated the servants shamefully and killed them. Again, it's incredible, because what people are doing in treating the servants shamefully and killing them is giving up their invitation, absolutely free, to this incredible wedding banquet. Why would someone not want to be there? Well, because they really do choose to oppose God's kingdom. Then, of course, the king is not perturbed, not deterred. Oh, he's very perturbed. He actually destroys those murderers, but he's not set back, because he sends out his servants again and says, invite everybody. My feast is going to be enjoyed. It's going to happen. And so he sends people out everywhere, and this only underscores how magnificently free this invitation really is. We saw that from the beginning. Again, the invitation absolutely free. The verse from Revelation chapter 22, those who are thirsty, come, where the water of life is absolutely free. And so the wedding hall is filled with guests. Sounds like happy ending after all. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then what happens shocks us. The king says, bind him hand and foot, cast him out outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It sounds a little extreme. But this is Jesus, in his parable, describing another reason for opposition, those who just don't want to come. These are the ones who don't want to come even to this amazingly opulent feast unless they come on their own terms. That is to say, they would rather be in command of their own ship, of their own fate, making their own rules, doing things their own way, than enjoying the banquet. And why is that clear in our text? Well, because the custom was in those days that when the king would give a banquet like this, he actually provided the wedding garment too. Not only did he set the fatted calves, the oxen, all that rich aged wine before them, but he even gave them the garments to wear, absolutely free, all included in the invitation. So that in this case, when he speaks to the man and says, friend, how gracious of him, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? There was an easy answer. I gave you a wedding garment, but you refused it. And so this is absolutely also the case in reality. When people say, of course I want to go to heaven, I want to enjoy that banquet, but I want to do it on my terms, my way, which simply most often includes earning my way by my own works, it really is an affront to the king, which causes ultimately the person to be cast out. And we remember those very tough words way back in our collect at the beginning. Almighty God, you invite us freely, totally free invitation to trust in you for our salvation, which is given to us without cost. Deal not with us in the severity of your judgment. Remember in the intro, he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. He has given me everything in Christ Jesus by his death and resurrection. But amazingly, there are those who really do not wish to be a part of this amazing banquet. That's the question mark in our theme. Finally, though, let's not forget what ultimately is abounding here, that God is freely giving to everyone, by Jesus' death and resurrection, such a rich and opulent banquet that Isaiah describes. So we got to come back one more time to that exclamation point. Why wouldn't everyone want to come to the Lord's wedding feast? And we all say, yes, indeed, we desire to come. And then we say, come, Lord Jesus, and bring it on whenever your time is right.
Dr. Carl Fekencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fekencher, it's always a pleasure. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Todd.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday, October the 10th, we'll take up two issues with Pastor Hans Feeney: Mark Driscoll's false comfort for guilty moms in the new Star Wars trailer. Then we'll talk about ways to show appreciation for your pastor with Pastor Peter Burfein.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.